again, good morning to you. I thank God for the opportunity that he has allowed us and blessed us to be here in his presence this morning. I thank God for watching over us while we slumbered and slept on last night. And I thank God that we are able to receive the blessings of the day that we have received thus far. It's good to be in the house of God. I'm beginning to understand what David said. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord, you'll find refuge. In the house of the Lord, you will find peace. You will find comfort. You will find strength, assurance, and confidence that everything's going to be all right. And I thank God for the church, because when everything around me is hellish, if I may, I can come to the house of God and I can find a safe haven. I can find a place where I can just relax a little bit and just let God have his way with me. It's good to be again in the house of God, and I want to speedily take you to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. We've got a lot of ground to cover, and I don't want to belabor you. I want to get right into the text, and I want to encourage your hearts. I'm trying to get us across the Jordan, but, you know, we gotta hear a few things along the way. We almost there. I know y'all ready to stick your foot in the pool and all that other stuff, but I want you to hang close and hang in there with me, because I think God is blessing the church. I think that God is really positioning us to be what God would have us to be. How you feeling, Hawthorne? Are you feeling good? Are you liking? Are you enjoying the fact that God is taking us on this journey? I pray the God of heaven that you are enjoying this trip, because we ain't going no other trip. This is the trip that we're on, and God is, I think, again, positioning us for greatness. I'm going to go on and come down. I'm going to hit you hard as I can and fast, and then I'm going to sit down. But I want you to see a few things this morning out of Joshua chapter 3. We've been dealing verses 1 through 5, but today I want to zero in on verse number 5, if I may. And we've been talking about, you know, really the understanding of what it means to cross your Jordan. And as we've been dealing with crossing our Jordan, as we've been dealing with the fact that there's some things we got to do, we found out we got to watch God. You know, it makes no sense for you to try to cross territory that you've never crossed before without watching somebody who know how to get you through. Amen. There's going to be some moments in life. There's going to be some Jordans in your life. There's going to be some struggles in your life. I'm saying trials, tribulations. There's going to be some untreaded waters in your life that you're going to need some help to get across. And may I suggest to you, don't listen to your friends. Don't listen to your family. Don't listen to brothers and sisters in Christ unless they've been hanging out with God. Because people love to give you somewhat what they call good advice. But when things start getting rough and, you know, it don't look too good for you, you very scarcely see them hanging out with you still. You know, it's almost like they tuck tail and run. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You was good enough to give me the advice. Could you at least be good enough to hang in there with me? So it's important for you to watch God, because when you're watching God and you see him leading the pack, you understand that you're following after him and he's with you. You don't have to worry about whether or not God will leave you. Hebrews 13:5, he promised he won't leave you, nor would he forsake you. So when all else fails and everyone else gives out, God is always there. And I don't know about you. I need a God who's consistent like that in my life. I done had some other gods in my life. I've had some other gods who gave me some false sense that they were with me, but come to find out, they wasn't with me. They were there just long enough to get me in deep, but when it came time to get up out of that stuff, man, they was long gone. Matter of fact, they were sitting where I left them on the shelf. They couldn't move. Matter of fact, they were powerless. They couldn't do anything to pull me out of the stuff that I got myself into. But the God of heaven, he's constantly moving. The God of heaven, matter of fact, he's constantly planning. He's purposely going ahead of you to prepare a way for you. I got any believers in the house? John 14, verse number 1 through 6, that's why we don't sorrow when it comes to death. Because we know he's done already gone ahead and prepared a place for us. And I don't know about you, to think that he's done that in death, sure enough, he got me covered in life. Isn't that right, Guido? I'm convinced that God has today in control, tomorrow in control, and the rest of my days in control. So I'm learning just to follow behind him and leave the rest of the stuff alone. So that means I will not be listening to y'all. I will not be following after y'all. I will not be watching y'all, but I will be watching y'all. But I'm going to be watching God, because I know at the end, and when it's all said and done, my soul hangs in the balance. And I know that there's only one person. His name is Jehovah Jireh, who can protect and guide and lead me to where I need to be. Because when them storms come, I'm going to need someone who's been through the storm before. I'm going to need a navigator who can navigate his way around without a compass. I'm going to need somebody who knows what life experiences are all about. And so I encourage you, as we've been watching God and following God, now I want to prepare us for tomorrow. That's my sermon topic for this morning, preparing for tomorrow. Look at the text here in Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 again, but I want to zero in on verse 5. The Bible says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Verse number 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Any of y'all want to see some amazing things? Raise your hand if you want to see some amazing things. Any of y'all want to see some wondrous things? Let's just get plain. Any of y'all just want to see God show up in your life and show out? You know, sometimes you just have to have an expectation with an anticipation. You got to be almost like a kid on the edge of your seat when you hear you're going to Disneyland tomorrow. You know you're about to get to the theme park and it's going to be all good because you know that ain't no day but a day of fun. That's it. Ain't no homework. Amen. Ain't no we got to stay home. Amen. You know you're going to get good food because you didn't bring no lunch. Amen. You might not get two good foods. You might only get one at them prices they be charging. But you're at least going to get one good meal. You're going to see Mickey and, you know, all that good stuff. Everything's just going to be good that day, right? Well, you got to anticipate the Lord doing good works for you in your life like that every day. And may I suggest to you that the tomorrow I want to talk about is not an event. It's not something that just happens one time. It's not, if you would, a tomorrow that you see and then there is no more tomorrows. Truth be told, every day you live, there's always going to be a tomorrow. And if you want to see an amazing thing or amazing things happen in your life, you have to anticipate tomorrow. But there's some things you got to do today for your tomorrow. And I want to talk about those things this morning. There's two things I think you're going to have to do. If you're going to definitely see God come into your life and show out, you got to listen, first of all, to the command of God. You got to hear in, you got to hum in, you got to zero in on his voice. Stop listening to everything else and just listen to the voice of the Lord. Now, I mind you, there's a challenge in here. Because when you talk about hearing the command of the Lord, you got to stop listening to the command of you. Amen. You got to put yourself outside yourself and tell yourself to hush. That's all right. I'm going to talk over here to myself real quick. Because sometimes myself has a lot to say to myself about myself. And most of the time as I talk to myself about myself, I think myself and myself are okay. But truth be told, me, myself, and I are a headache at the jump. All I'm doing is stroking me, myself, and I's ego and telling me, myself, and I, we're doing all right. Just listen to what I tell you with my reason and logic and everything's going to be all right. Y'all with me? You got to hear the command of God, because if you listen to your command, you're not going to do what that word says, consecrate, from the Hebrew. You won't do it. That Hebrew word there means literally to set oneself apart, to prepare for. To position oneself to be, if you would, purified for what God's about to do in your life. And someone said, well, how in the world can I be purified? Tell yourself to split yourself and take a hike. Tell that other you in there that's trying to buck up against the new you, he need to go sit down somewhere. Amen. Y'all ever had to tell someone like that in your family? They was just doing too much? Oh, come on, somebody be real with me this morning. You have some folk in your life, if I may, who are just, they doing too much. And all you can do is just go sit down. Hey, let Tamar from the Braxton say, have several seats with a seat belt. It's all right. I knew some of y'all watched it. I'm just saying. But you got to move past you. Stop relying on your voice, because I'm telling you, your voice will lead you down the wrong path, the path of destruction, if you may. The command, the voice of the Lord, it really ushers in, if you would, with a graceful tone to it, with a merciful tone. Just watch the text. He goes and says, consecrate yourself for tomorrow. God's going to do some amazing things. Y'all remember the journey thus far? Do you remember what's been happening with Israel? Do y'all know anything about Israel's past? And I know you do. How in the world can you spend 400 years in Egypt under the hand of Pharaoh, the taskmaster, building his palaces and his places, amen, getting the bottom of the barrel when it comes to meals, amen, being looked at as a slave, and then after that, you know, having a good attitude when Moses shows up, delivers 10 plagues, and then says, we're getting up out of here. And then leave out of Israel when God delivers you with a attitude of, thank you, Lord. Y'all just follow me, okay? And then when you leave out of there, you get to a position where you're at the Red Sea. And now the Egyptians are after you because they want you back as slaves. Then you start complaining. Were there no graves in Egypt that you brought us all the way out here to die? And then, you know, Moses, the leader, gets a little bit, you know, irritated and has to go check back in with God and say, God, you know what I'm supposed to do? And God's basically saying, get out of my office, go out there and do what I told you you had the power to do. You know, and y'all hang here. It's going to make sense in just a moment. And he gets up there and he parts the Red Sea. And the Bible said they walked across on. Okay. All right. But no sooner than they get across, they get to see God swallow up the Egyptians. I mean, never to see them again. I mean, so that problem literally got X'd out. Oh, yeah. I know some of y'all done had some problems in your life, and you glad God did what? He X'd them out. Yeah. No longer for you to revisit is my point, that problem that you had. But see, sometimes the problem that exists ain't the problem. The problem that you see ain't really the problem, because you're looking at the situation as the problem, but not the other person inside of you. That's the problem. Say amen when you can. I'm talking about hearing the command of God, the voice of God. Because God says, everything I have power to take care of. I even really have power to take care of you, but you got to be the one to make the choice. Sometimes the things that arise in our life are still there because it's not the things, it's us. Situations are always going to be situations, but it depends on how you deal with the situation and what the outcome looks like. I could be mad at you for slapping me in the face, but I could be like Jesus and turn the other cheek and smile at you. That's if I hear the command, the voice of God. Amen. It's a little rough in here. Y'all just hang in there with me, because I won't show you Israel. They get past the Red Sea. Now they're hungry. You can't take folk nowhere, and they always got to get hungry. Amen. Like taking a busload of church folks somewhere. Somebody got to stop for some chicken somewhere. Just saying. But what's interesting, you said churches, yeah, that would fit. But what's interesting to me is that they get out there and need something to eat, and God never says a word. He just drops some free loaves of bread from heaven. Amen. I'm with you. Yeah, everybody else must got bread in the pantry at the house. Yeah, but when you got the bread that's free, I used to say, if it's free, it's for me. Yeah, I stopped saying that. Some free stuff ain't good. But they get manna from heaven. Bread's not enough. Now they need some meat to go with the bread. That sound like church folk. It's not enough. They get some meat. Now they're thirsty. They get some water. Now to all these things God is doing, he's showing you, I got you covered. Just listen to what I got to say. But that wasn't enough for them. They couldn't listen to the command of God because they were too busy listening to the command of themselves. So God said, I tell you what, wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Until all of you who don't want to hear me die off. It's rough in here. Y'all hang tough. Please don't die off with the old generation. Please don't be the one that doesn't see or be able to cross your Jordan or see the promised land because you can't see beyond you. Move you out the way and just learn to have a little faith. Are you listening to me? See, we want all the external stuff to add up. Stop doing that to yourself. If they never add up, just trust God. Are you listening to me? Move past all the other stuff. I know what the world is telling us to do. It's telling you to set yourself up. I know what they're telling you. Make sure you got this, 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 and this, and this lined up. That's good and dandy, but in the midst of all of that, have some faith. Because there's going to be some of them times where stuff just don't add up, and you got to learn to just be okay with that. See, God can't use you if you in the way is what I'm saying. If you're too busy listening to your own advice, you can't hear the advice of God. Or maybe you can hear it, but you ain't going to pay no attention to it because your advice sounds a little bit better than his advice does. Y'all need an example, don't you? God tells you go down this road, and you see that up ahead in that road a mile in, you're going to have a little storm. But over on this road, you see about 5 miles down the road and don't look like nothing going on. It just looked like a sunny day. You choose to go that way when God tells you to go. And when you go down that way only to see, you know, about 6 miles in, because you didn't see over the hill, there's a catastrophe ahead of you. Matter of fact, it ain't one storm. It's about 4 of them. And they got hurricanes in the storm. About hurricane, what's the highest hurricane? About 5, 6, 7? What's the worst tornado? I know I got some wonderful astrologers out there. E5? You got an E5 going on. I mean, it's just whipping up everything. I got some weather folk out there. No, that's all right. We're going to get a few up in here. Y'all just keep praying for them. Amen. Well, what are you saying, Stan? You got to trust God. And if you're not listening to his command, you're going to fall short. Listen again to the consecration, to set yourself aside and prepare yourself for what God wants you to do. This consecration word really brings about sacrificial stuff that happened in the Old Testament, where, you know, even Aaron himself was the one who was going to be in charge over the Ark of the Covenant, and his sons and then of the Levitical priesthood, the lineage would come down, and they were to consecrate themselves. You'll find this in the book of Leviticus, and it's interesting to me that when they came to consecrate themselves, Aaron and his sons, they had to come in with a bull and 2 rams. And then when they got in there was some specifics of what God told them to do and what not to do. One of the things he told them to do is when you open up that bull, take its intestines and burn them on the outside out there, because that's an evil offering. I wish I had a church. I'd preach right along. That's some good stuff. Some of your waste, if you would, or all of your waste, don't belong in the presence of God. The stuff that's going to hinder you and slow you down lies within inside of you. So you got to get that stuff up out of there. Because if you don't, it's going to waste your life. Amen. It's just like, you know, if you eat too much and you don't go too much, you're going to jack yourself up. Are you listening to me? Some things you got to take out in order to put some things in. And the things you put in ought to make some of the stuff. I got to move, but I want you to see something. Luke, can I borrow you? I think it's been a while since I've done a little illustration. Brother got so excited preaching and going on, I just started preaching the Bible. But the Bible, we have preached. But I do every now and then got a little illustration. I want this bucket of rocks, or this pail of rocks. Okay, my wife's Tupperware of rocks. I want this to represent you in your life, okay? This is going to be you. But I'm going to make it personal. This is going to be me, all right? Is that okay? This is me. And in me, I'm supposed to be listening to God, but I might be listening to me. I want y'all to just roll with me, okay? Here's God. He's the water, okay? And he wants to fill me up. Go ahead and fill me up, Luke. And I'm attempting to be what he wants me to be, you know, so I got to let God in, right? That's the first thing I got to do if I want to be filled up is let God what? Let him in. You hear him knocking, then let him in. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door, he said, and I'm doing what? I'm knocking. He said, if you open the door, I'll come in, I'll sup with you and you with me, right? Now, what's interesting to me, you know, I want God, and I'm asking God to come in, but God wants to come all the way in. All right, you got it filled? Is it filled up? I think we'd add a little more. Let's add a little more in there.
Overflow.
Huh?
Overflow.
Nah, man, we can get a little more in there. We can make it to one more Bible class, I'm just saying. One more. Oh, yeah, we up there now, aren't we?
Yep.
Okay. I think we could use a little more Jesus, right? How many of y'all got Jesus right now? How many of y'all feel y'all can use a little more Jesus? How many of y'all know y'all need a little more Jesus? Okay, then we need some more Jesus. I know I need some more. Pour me some water in there.
I can't.
What you mean you can't?
The water's all just going to blow up, overflow.
What you mean it's going to, what's that supposed to mean? What are you saying, Stan? I'm making my point. See, in order to consecrate yourself, you got to set yourself aside. See, the problem with this illustration is I'm in the way. It's easy for me to say I got God and everything's good. He's the leader of my life until I start looking internally. I got to get rid of some stuff if I want some more Jesus. So I tell you what we're going to do then. How about I get out the way? How about I just take all of me out the way and let's try that again. Now fill me up. Give me some Jesus. That look good to me. Stop right there for a minute. I got some Jesus in me. Think I can use a little more? I think so too. Pour on. I know if the preacher needs some more Jesus, I know y'all need some more Jesus. Amen. When you can. Now I think that looks fuller than the original one we put in there. Why? Got rid of myself. Consecrate. That's what that means. To move out the way. Now it's interesting to me because if you continue to move out the way, God will continue to do what he does on your foolishness. When you decide to turn over and turn around, he'll place you on a solid rock. I want to preach just a little bit. Y'all hang in there with me. Now do me a favor. Will you keep pouring some more Jesus off in me? See, every now and then, I think you just have to understand God's at work. You get out the way. Let him work around your stuff. Let him move in a mighty way. Let him do something. You just get out the way. Because what you're not seeing is God's going to use your overflow to bless somebody else. See, on this journey over there to Canaan's land, in order to get across the Jordan, you need some help. You can't do this thing by yourself. I need Kim, and Kim needs me. You just happen to be who I looked at, Kim. But, you know, I need you. There needs to be, if you would, some encouragement. Stan, everything's going to be all right. I'm glad we're rolling together, man. Matter of fact, I'm glad you and I are down with Jesus. You know why? Because when I get off tilted, you can help me out. And when you get off, I can help you out. Matter of fact, we just keep working together because guess what? We're getting ready to cross. But here's what we're going to have to do. I'm going to have to get rid of some stuff in my life. Sometimes you can see some stuff that's hindering me that I can't see. Oh, man, I wish I had a moment right along in there. There's some things that folks will point out in your life. Don't believe me? Just be married. You can sit down, man. Thank you. Give Luke a hand. Appreciate you, Luke. There's some things that other folks see that you can't see. And it's up to you to be consecrated enough to let some folk in. Now, don't take this as a license to start pointing folks' faults out. Let me just throw that in there while I'm there. Because folk like to point out everybody else's fault, but they so in the way they got more rocks in their thing in their life than they do water, than they do Jesus. Just going to roll upon you talking about, yeah, I was going to talk to you about that skirt you had on. Yeah, that's fine. But when you get done telling her about her skirt, let her tell you about slipping into brother so-and-so's house. Yeah, I knew y'all'd get quiet right along in there. But what am I saying? I'm saying move you out the way. You can't have two of you. You got to split you. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, get out the way, man. 2:30 this morning, I woke up where the Lord woke me up. And I was confronted with some of my past. And boy, it was rough at 2:30 this morning. And it dawned on me. You know what God was telling me? Consecrate yourself right now, Stan. I need you to understand that going forward is based upon where you've been. I'm the one who brought you to the point to where you're at, and I'm the one that's going to take you where I want you to go. You can't do that. You're in the way. Matter of fact, if you don't move out the way, I can't move the rest of the folk who are trying to roll with you. Are you listening to me? The Levitical priesthood, they carried the Ark of the Covenant, and I told you on last Sunday, usually they were in the midst of Israel. But this time, they're on the forefront of Israel. They're leading Israel. When you don't know where to go, you need directions. Amen, wives. When your husband don't know where he's going, I'm going to tell Don, he ain't here. You're the loudest one, Lord Jesus. But he needs some directions, doesn't he?
But instead of looking like he don't know where he going, he keeps pressing on. And you already know you missed the exit about four exits back. And you wanted to tell him, but you just didn't have the heart to tell him. Because he was just so happy and he just so confident. He knew where he was going. Now, there's a twofold problem there. One, you shouldn't have let him take y'all that far. And the other problem is when you don't know, you better ask somebody. That's a sermon coming to a church near you. If you don't know, you better ask somebody. Because we position ourselves to think we know everything, only to find that we don't know nothing, only to find ourselves in a position of wanting and needing God. Well, let's skip all of that. Why don't we just listen to the voice of God? You don't get for me Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. We'll be there in just a moment. I need for you, Deja, get for me Matthew chapter 6, round about verse number 25, I think it is. We're going to hang out there for just a moment. But I want you to see some stuff. I want you to see what's going to happen here when you listen to the voice of God. Because when you listen to the voice of God, you can expect good results. Y'all agree with that? When the last time God let you down? Has he ever let you down? Who in here has been batting 100 in the shade because you've been with God? Y'all need the explanation on 100 in the shade. In other words, every time it works out. How many of y'all know that with God, it always going to work itself out? Y'all still want to stay with him? I'm trying to get y'all across the Jordan, but we got to listen to the command for consecrate yourself. Get you out the way. You can't do nothing anyway. How many of y'all can part some waters? Raise your hand if you can. No? I can break up some ice. Amen. But it done changed forms. It's no longer liquid, it's solid. But how many of us can take some of the liquid situations in our life and move them out the way? There's some stuff in our life that's also real, and we're dealing with it right now, and we can get over it if we just move out the way. Galatians chapter 6, roundabout verse number 7. I want you to watch this. What's the Bible say?
Do not be deceived.
Don't be deceived.
God cannot be mocked.
Did you hear that? God cannot be what?
Mocked.
Go ahead and read.
A man reaps what he sows.
Listen to me. I don't know about you. To know that God can't be mocked, that convinces me and makes me more confident that everything's fine. Amen. If God tell you you're getting through, guess what? And God will not have his name mocked. So the devil, he can act like you ain't gonna get through, but guess what? He'll lie. You getting through. So next time your situation roll up on you and he tell you, where you God now? Tell him he right here. Yeah, he right here. Matter of fact, I'm going to step back so he can step up and he can show you what we about to do. You notice the language? What we about to do. Why? I'm rolling with him. Matter of fact, I'm out the way. I got no other choice. I'm trying to live in the overflow. I'm trying to move and be positioned based upon my drama that he forgave me. He launched me into a position of successfulness. I don't know about you. I walk around these days victorious. I belong to the king, and I ain't letting nobody tell me different. You can roll up on me and tell me you don't think I'm nothing, but I'll run you to Romans chapter 8, and I'll tell you I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Yeah, you may not love my mess, but he loved my messiness, took my messiness, threw some love, some grace and mercy on it, and made me no longer messy. And even when I mess up, he take my mess all over again, and he throw it down into the sea of forgetfulness, and he remembers it no more. You can hold it on me, but it ain't on me. Y'all going back to sleep. What are you saying, Stan? Don't you know the redemptive work of God? Don't you know what he's done for you? That's why you listen to his command. That's why he says, consecrate yourself. He's telling you, go back to when you first believed. Remember how it was when I washed away your sin? Remember the feeling you had? Remember how that guilt got pushed into its proper place and you walked around free? How many of y'all children of the Most High God? Let's talk. I may not get to my whole sermon. We'll preach it next week. But how many of y'all believe you are saved? How many of you know you've been forgiven of all your sins? How many of y'all got a whole bunch of sins? How many of you glad he ain't bringing them up no more? How many of y'all glad he ain't holding them against you? How many of y'all glad that his redemptive work positioned you for greatness? Not only did he take the mess away, no longer are you messy, but you a good person now. You get a different position, a different place in life. You get to walk with your head held high. See, it means a lot to me when folk tell you, you know, when you're younger, you ain't gonna amount to much. You hanging with the wrong crowd. But yet God says, you know what? Hang with that crowd, get some experience, do some dirt so I can build on it. So I can position you where I want you to be, because I know what folk gonna say. I know they're gonna look at you as a young man and say, oh, he ain't got nothing to say, but you ain't even got to speak. Use my words. Tell them what I say. Tell them what I've done for you. Y'all got a minute? I won't be mocked. They may think you're gonna amount to nothing, but I'm gonna make you mighty. Because why? You belong to me. And if for no other reason, because of my name's sake, I'm gonna handle my business. You can't do it, but I can. But here's what you can do. Move out the way so I can really let you show off. Galatians chapter 6, he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let me tell you something. When you get close to God and do what God wants you to do, you're going to start reaping good stuff. How many of y'all been blessed by Hawthorne here lately? Man, hanging with y'all, I feel like I'm stronger. Well, I feel like a strong preacher. I said, Lord Jesus, I get down, go down to the Hawthorne, I just feel strong. Some of these warriors up in there, I'll be like, woo, Lord Jesus, we about to have church today. Amen. And I know the devil, he'd be like, well, there's only a few folk there. Well, there's the few folk I want to be with anyway. Not many folk gonna make it to the kingdom. Don't nobody want this thing called Christianity. At least only few do. And the ones who want it, that's who I'm sticking with. Amen. And I tell Sister Jefferson, you pray for me twice on Sunday. Yeah, I know she'll pray you. Well, y'all say what you want, but that's it. I'm her prayer getting through. Then I go back to the house and I tell Stanley, now you pray for your daddy. I asked him the other morning, taking him to school. I said, I need you to pray for everyone sick in the hospital. You know, we had Sister Miles, Sister Randolph. We had Cookie. We had Gail's sister Cookie in there. I mean, a whole bunch of them. I said, Stanley, you pray. And then he prayed, and I said, man, we all right now, Stanley. Have a good day at school. He walked in there just all proud and stuff. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And then I turned around, and I told Sister Miles when I visited, I said, you're going to be all right. Stanley prayed. What are you saying, preacher? The command of God. Listen to God. Do what God wants you to do. Don't worry about the rest of the stuff. See, God will position you if you just move out the way. If you seek the right things, move after the right stuff. Keep reading, it gets better, Guido. Bible says what in the next verse?
Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life.
Hold on one second. If all you want is a life of rocks, you can have it. If all you want is what you got right now, keep it. But if you want more, strive for the more and leave the less alone. Stanley here lately been asking me, Dad, I said, what's up? Is 11 more than 7? And I said, yes, it is. Okay. Is 13 more than 11? I'm saying, Lord, the school is working. Thank you, Lord. I was wondering if the money was working. Thank you, Lord. I said, yes, it is. Okay. Well, is 100 more than 50? Yes, it is. And you know what that was telling me? Move beyond where you're at, Stan. If all you want is 50, leave God alone. But if you want more than 50, keep seeking God. If you want more than 100, keep seeking God. If you want more than 1,000, keep seeking God. If you want more than a house, keep seeking God. If you want more down here other than what this life has to offer, keep seeking God and watch yourself go to heaven. I dare y'all to go to heaven. I dare you. Keep reading, my brother. We got to get up out of here. Bob says what?
Let us not become weary.
Don't grow weary.
Good.
For in due season.
For at the proper time,
you will reap
a harvest if we do not give up.
Don't be worried about your next door neighbor's season. Focus on your season. And if you've done what you needed to do to plant for your season to be harvested rightfully, just wait for it. I didn't read Isaiah 40 this morning for nothing. They that wait patiently on the Lord, he'll renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall, you notice all them they's in there? It speaks of a different person outside of them. You too busy focusing on them, you can't see the they. If you focus more on the they, you'll get where God wants you to go. Quit focusing on them. I don't care what they I do. If he ain't doing what God want him to do, I'm going to do what God want me to do. I ain't a them, I'm a they. And if other folks is being blessed, praise God. But I'm not going to hate on them because they blessed. I'm just going to wait for my. What are you saying, Stan? Listen to God's command. Consecrate yourself. God's saying, take care of you. Don't worry about the rest of the stuff. You better leave out of here today taking care of you. Moving that out the way. And let God get in the way. Split you. Okay, y'all got more than one person living in your head, don't you? Yeah, some of y'all ain't gonna admit it because you don't want to say you're crazy. But let me tell you like this. Just because you didn't admit it, you crazy. If you think for a moment's notice that you don't think twice about some of the things you do, you're lying now. There's always them extras that you have running around in your head. Now leave that stuff alone and take God at his word. Y'all good? Just making any sense? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Don't worry about your life, Jesus said. What you'll eat, what you drink, what you shall put on. Is life not much more than that? Food, raiment, and shelter? Consider the lilies of the field, for they neither toil nor spin, and yet, you know, God handles that. Or the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, and yet God's got that. Even Solomon at one point, Jesus says, in all of his splendor, his glory. Hold on. Solomon, the wealthiest man, he had a whole bunch of stuff. But Jesus said he was not arrayed
like one of those.
Do you know what that means? You think you sing something with Solomon, try God.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think Solomon had a whole lot and had it going on, just test God.
Yeah.
Ask God to bless your life. I dare y'all to listen to God. Listen to God when he says, step out there. Listen to God when he says, step in there.
Yeah.
And listen to God when he says, step up out of there. That's my sermon for next Sunday. When you test God and take him at his word, he'll do some amazing things for you. But the problem is there's some things you got to do. First thing you got to do is listen to his voice and consecrate yourself. Move you out the way. Then the second thing you got to do is you got to commit yourself. There's a commitment that it says, you know what? I'm in with God, all the way in. Like when you're sitting there playing poker, for instance, and you know you got a good hand. Amen. You know you finna win. You got the highest hand possible. So you sit cool, calm, and collect. Folk think that you're studying long and studying wrong, but now it's fixed. That's all right. This is for me. This sermon right along in here is for Stan. And you know you've got it made, so here's what you do. You get a little braggadocious about it. Mm-hmm. Now you put not only all your chips in, but you put your Rolex down there. And then you take your wife's Rolex and put it in there, too. You're up in the ante. Uh-huh. That's all right. Now you just done got so bold with it as to say, you know what, I bet my life on it. What I'm saying is, bet your life on God and watch how that works out. See, it's interesting to me. We'll put our life out there for everything else. Why not do it for God? He ain't never let you down thus far. Commit to him. And then while I'm along in here, don't take up his commitment thinking it's your commitment. I need to marinate with you. Because God committed to us to do something like we commit to him to do something. What are you saying, Stan? Stop trying to do God's job. You don't need to know how you're going to get across the river. Just know you're going. Well, I don't think that's possible. Due to the ecological structure of the water, I don't think that we can possibly get. Stop. You're killing it. One said, you're blowing it, man. No, quit doing you. Do him. Because when you think about it, look at your life before you knew Jesus. Someone said they were amazed when they saw that a brown cow could eat green grass and produce white milk. But someone also said that the amazing spiritual divine chemistry of salvation is what's amazing. How God can take a dark black soul, dip it in blood, and make it white as snow. Somebody ought to say amen. That's amazing that God can take all that sin that you was thinking on at 2:30 this morning, Stan, and say, Stan, what are you talking about? I forgave you of that already. Y'all don't hear what I'm talking about. When you've done some dirt and things just ain't been right in your life and God frees you of that, there's a sense of guilt sometimes that rolls behind you. You get to thinking about some of that stuff. You think about you should have been dead and gone, but God says, what are you doing? Why are you looking at that? Quit looking at that and look on that. I cleaned you up. I purified you. I cleared you. If I ain't holding it on you, why are you holding it on you? I know why you're holding it. You looking at you. Move you out the way. And I don't know about you. I was a dirty sinner, and I still sin dirty every now and then. But when I think about the goodness of God, and I begin to see what God has done for me in my life, I'm beginning to listen to his command a little bit more and stop thinking on my own. And I don't know about you, but that stinking thinking just be getting me in trouble anyway. Just when I think I got it in good with her lease, I mess it all up. So you know what I'm doing? I'm going to say, God, what you want me to do? And he tells me, well, you know, Stan, I know you had plans today. And everybody needs ministry. Why don't you minister to your wife? It's all right. That's all right. And so what you do is you stay home. She think you at the workplace, but you take a day off. Amen. Amen, you take a day, y'all, amen. Don't look at me, well, you the preacher. Nah, y'all take days off. Raise your hand if you take days off. Yeah, I got witnesses now, so don't y'all be hating on me when a brother take a day off. Just thought I'd slide that in there for myself. She need a preacher too. Amen. She need a little more Jesus, amen. But, you didn't hear that, praise the Lord, all right. But I took a day off, and God says, clean up the house. Lord, it's been a minute since I busted suds. Early on in the marriage, I was told I didn't have to bust no suds. If I took care of the trash and so I busted, so I cleaned up the whole house. And if that wasn't enough, cooked dinner. Hey. Yeah, go figure. I'm trying to give me some brownie points right along. Y'all do what you need to. But there's a point to my commitment in just a moment. Did what I needed to do. Bought a couple cards. Ooh, this is sweet. Yeah, I felt fuzzy when I was doing it too. I said, Lord, this ain't normal. But I said all that to say this. She was surprised when she got home. Long week had come by and she said, well, I thought you would, yeah, you thought. You don't get paid for thinking. What are you saying? Nah, what I was doing was I was working off the overflow. See, God had blessed Stan. Yeah, yeah. So surely I could bless my wife. Yeah, what did that got to do with commitment? Look at your relationship with Christ. If he could surely feed you every day. If he could get up and let the sun shine on you every day. If he's the one who could keep you in perfect peace every day, surely you could do your part and give him some praise. Surely you can stop by his house and thank him for what he's done for you. Surely you can sing songs like your last songs you're going to sing. Surely you can listen to the preacher and amen every now and again. Surely you can just walk out of his house at least one Sunday and feel better than you did when you got up in here. But commitment, give your life to God. Move past you, because I'm going to tell you something. When you do, you push the worry and all the rest of that junk out the way. I got to speed forward in Matthew chapter 6, but he said, don't worry about your life and all those good things. Solomon was not arrayed like one of you. But then he goes on to say something. What does
now
it say?
Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field,
which is today,
and tomorrow's thrown
into... Wait, which is what?
Which today is.
Look. He clothes the grass today, and that's today is, and tomorrow what?
Is thrown into the oven.
Will he not much more what?
More clothe you,
of little faith. Listen to this. There's some good teaching right along in here. If the grass is green today, but it's thrown away tomorrow, expect green grass tomorrow.
See,
I'm learning to look at things differently. Yeah. Here's what we do. Man, I had such a good day. This is what it looks like. Lord Jesus, I hope tomorrow ain't rough.
Come on.
Stop doing that to yourself. Because if you're setting yourself up for tomorrow, you sure enough going to set it up. What in the world if he gave you green grass today makes you think he'd give you anything different tomorrow? Y'all feel me? See, a lot of stuff we do on our own because we're not committing ourselves to what he told us to commit to. I'm going to quit, but let me throw this analogy, illustration out here. It takes 16 trillion droplets, all right, to cover 7 city miles worth of fog. 16 million droplets. Now, what's interesting to me, if it's fog that's real thick, it shuts down airports. It's hard to see. You don't know what to do. But that's almost like worry because those 16 trillion droplets, when you condense them all together, only really equal a half a glass of water. And because you decided to take your worry in one glass and spread it all over everything else, now you not only can see your worry in front of you, but you got 7 miles worth of stuff you can't even see. Are you listening to me? You set yourself up for that. That's why Jesus said, don't worry about your life. I got that part. Just commit your life to me and let me handle my business. Truth be told, I've been here for eternity, so I think I know what I'm doing. I got to close, but I just want to drop some stuff on your mind this morning. Commit your life to God. Stop worrying about the rest of the stuff. Because I guarantee you, when you get to them storms and them rivers in your life, and things that start getting rough, you're going to need commitment. Because when God looks down and says, oh, Guido, it's you. I've been hearing you pray for my children down there at Hawthorne. What you need, son? Lord Jesus. You need what? $100? No problem. Here's $5. That was too easy, wasn't it? See, you got to see God like that. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe. And then he has to believe that he is a rewarder of those that commitment. Giving myself to God, I can expect great results. That's why Israel didn't have to worry about nothing. They were able to walk across on dry ground. And let me drop this nugget as I close. It amazes me that when they walked across on dry ground for the second time, I almost want to picture that there was some dust kicking up. Stop before I blow a gasket because I'm finna go in the round too. A dust was just blowing up everywhere. And it's interesting that it hung out for so long. That is, the waters parted. Because 3 million folk had to cross. And it just stayed where it was supposed to stay. Had it been me, I'd have been like, yeah, boy. It's not every day you see the rivers just get up and just listen. And you stay there, and you stay there. I want you to see how you should be doing your problems is what I'm saying. When they roll up on you and it seems like a big river, just say, God, help me. And then watch God say, you go there, and you go there. Go ahead, my child. Are you listening? See, don't call your problem back is what I'm saying. Don't say, no, I'm feeling, no. Y'all know how we do when stuff turns from normal to abnormal. Some of us don't know what peace look like, so it ain't normal. So as soon as it rolls up on us, it's like, oh, Lord, what? Relax. Relax yourself. That's God in your presence. Leave that stuff with. Are you with me? How many of y'all need a week with no drama? Come on, church. I'm done. A whole week with no drama. You want a whole week of no drama? I can guarantee you can get it. Here you go. Consecrate yourself and commit yourself. There may be drama, but it ain't going to be your. Amen. I got to close. If you need to respond to God's call, we encourage you to come by faith, repentance, accept him to be the Savior. We're baptized in water for the remission of your sins. You can leave out of here today with no drama. At least it won't be yours. Drama's going to always be what it is. But you don't have to make it yours. Stop picking up stuff God didn't tell you to carry. Yeah, stop burdening yourself down with the cares of this world. Maybe you're here and you are a believer. Maybe you drama-nated. Well, we got some other drama for your drama. We got his name Jesus, and he's that good kind of drama. He'll go in, he'll shut bad drama down. Y'all following? It's all right. All right. Sometimes you need to get rid of some stuff. That's called consecration. Then pull in the good stuff, which is God. And then commit to the good stuff and leave the other stuff alone. If you don't like trash, don't keep it in your house. I say that again. If you don't like trash, don't keep it in your house. I got a rule. If you ever come to my house, leave your drama at the door. It don't belong at 7922. Leave it at the door. If you got it and you want to bring it in, you're going to have to go ahead and turn around and drive all the way back to L.A. and drop it off. Then when you're ready to leave it out there, then you come back over here. It's the same here at 4585 El Segundo. Yeah. Leave your drama at the door. But sometimes, no, I got to have my drama. That's fine. Bring your drama in. But then when God puts it at the door, leave it at the door. Amen. Then when you get to the door after being filled with a different kind of drama, don't pick up that drama. Amen. Some drama you just don't need. Some folk you, well, look, just come on, Deja. I'm finna do some. Come on. If you need to respond to God's call, we encourage you. Come as together we stand and sing.